Amen. I just want to welcome everyone that is with us worshiping in our service today. This is our Covenant Sunday, our communion service. And we are truly thankful that the Lord has preserved our lives and He has kept us to be able to see yet another day. What a blessing. In the midst of everything going on in the world, the Lord has not abandoned us. He has not left us without help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we're truly thankful. And just the opportunity to be able to come around our covenant and celebrate it. Come around the word and celebrate it. What a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm going to have us get into the word of God because I want to minister to us further today on continue to minister on the theme that we have been on for the last few weeks. And thank God very much for how He continues to minister to us. So I'm going to just get in the Word of God and continue to go slowly and take the next step of this ministry that the Lord has prepared for us. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah. Amen. So go back with me, please, to Psalms 127. And in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies," there's a little feedback somewhere, "and my foes came upon me," it might be from this feedback speakers here, "when they came upon me to eat up my flesh," that's better, thank you, "they stumbled and they fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." I love verse four very much. "One thing," David says, "one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." He talks further about how the Lord is His salvation in verse 5. He says, "For in the time of trouble, He will hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He will set me up upon a rock." Hallelujah. So when the storms of life are raging, when there seems to be no help anywhere, David is reminding us the Lord is ever near. He said He will hide me in His pavilion. So God has a pavilion. God has a special place for His precious people. That's why, you know, our Covenant Sunday is one of our most powerful and it is one of our most impactful services. He said, "God will hide me in His pavilion." God has a pavilion. You may not have known that, but He has pavilions, plural. The Amplified describes it as a shelter. He calls it the secret place of his tent. So he has a tent. But even in that tent, there is a secret place there. Where when the storms of life are raging, you cannot be touched. He said, he will hide me. He will set me up upon a rock. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Tell somebody, say, this is a setup. Well, we didn't think it was, but it is a setup. Hallelujah. He said, he will set me up upon a rock. That is, while the storms are raging, he will hide us in his pavilion. He will hide us in the secret place of his tent. He will set us up on a rock. This is a setup. This is a setup. For every child of God listening to me today, you are involved in a setup. You are involved in a divine supernatural setup. While the storms of life are raging, we're involved in a setup. One of the greatest aspects of the salvation of God that we experience is described by David in Psalm 27. David knows this personally. He knows this, not just as fact, but as truth, as divine truth. This is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit said, there are some things that I want to tell you now, but I can't tell you because you can't bear them. He said, but when the Spirit of truth is come, he will lead you into all truth, he said. He will speak to you and he will lead you into all truth. It is possible that we have some truth. And sometimes our eyes are beclouded by the partial truth that we sometimes have. But the Lord said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And the Amplified Bible says the whole truth. The whole truth. You know how when you go into the court of law, they make you, you know, lift up your hand, I'll tell the truth. Swear, I tell the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. So help me God. The partial truths that we have sometimes can becloud our judgment regarding what is really happening. We do not deny the storm because the storm is happening. That's truth. But it is partial truth. David said, even in the midst of the raging storm, he will hide me. Now, that is the whole truth. Even in the midst of the raging storm, he will hide me in his pavilion. That is the whole truth. Without that aspect of the truth, all you may see and focus on is the storm. But when you have the whole truth, then you know when you are hidden in the secret place of his pavilion, then the storm is really nothing. Because it will pass just as it came. It has an expiration date. It will not last forever. your challenges will not last forever. I didn't say you are not challenged. You are challenged, but that is partial truth. The whole truth, however, is that that challenge, that opposition, that affliction, that adversity, that difficulty will not last forever. It has an expiration date. And while it is raging, the Lord will hide you in his pavilion. He will keep you in the secret place of his tent. These are some of the expressions of the Lord being our salvation. He's our Yesha, he's our salvation. This is why David said, I am confident. In this will I be confident. When you have the whole truth, you can be confident. If you have partial truth, you may be afraid. But if you have the whole truth, you will be confident. Because you know, while the storm is raging, God is hiding you in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tent, in his tabernacle. And the storm that is raging has an expiration date. You are going to come through. These are times when the people, you know, it says in Daniel, they that know their God, they will be strong and they will do what? They will do exploits. You cannot tell what you have until something tests what you have. You cannot know or be able to show what you have until something tests what you have. Strength is revealed in the midst of adversity. That's where strength is revealed. And if you look in the word of God, every time the Lord speaks to his people, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. And so then we say, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong. But strength is really revealed in a time of adversity. So that is why we cannot afford to be afraid or run away from adversity. Amen. Adversity doesn't make us strong. It shows our strength. Amen. I know some people say, what you are going through will make you strong. Adversity does not have the power to make you strong. It is the working of God. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said to the Ephesian church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he told them, I think it's verse 10, then verse 11, take on the whole armor of God. It is not adversity that makes you strong. It is the armor of God that makes you strong. And so when you take on the whole armor of God, he says, you will stand in the evil day. Stand therefore in the evil day. And having done all, stand. What enables you to stand is the strength that you have. And the strength that you have is a factor of what you've allowed Yesha, the God of your salvation, to do in your life. I know. The times are difficult. I know the times are tough. Men's strengths are failing them. Reminds me of one of those times in Israel when, the times were so bad and the king was passing and some of the helpless people were calling to the king, save us, O king, save us. Okay, and the king says, I wish I could save myself. Men's strengths are failing them. You can go so far in your own ability and in your own strength. But the strength of the Lord, when you know how to be hidden in his pavilion, then there is no storm, there is no adversity that can put a dent in your armor. Say with me, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When the Lord said, let us go over to the other side, he didn't say, let's go and drown. He didn't say, let's go and drown while we are crossing over because there will be a hurricane. What did he say? Let us go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Let us go to the other side. And so, David tells us a few things about how the strength of God, the salvation of God, is made manifest in our lives. But then, he shows us that everything God does in our lives is tied up to him being our light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It will interest you to learn and to find out that almost every scripture that we have studied in our series so far, some of the most prominent scriptures where we have learned about divine direction and guidance were written by David. He's the one who wrote about how to commit to the Lord in Psalm 37. He's the one who wrote about the Lord will be our direction. He will establish our path when we delight ourselves in him. He's the one who said, I've been young, I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. He's the one who told us, when you commit, rest in the Lord, and he will make it good. He will make it good. Yes. And in Psalm 25, he's the one who told us, the Lord teaches the meek.
Yes.
It takes meekness to receive light.
Yes.
He's the one who told us. He's the one who wrote about all these salvation scriptures. That man knew what he was talking about. He knew what he was talking about. He said, though a host, this is Psalm 27 and verse 3, even though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Even though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He said in verse 5, in the time of trouble. These are times of trouble. These are the times David was writing about. In the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He will set me up upon a rock. This is a setup. This is not a pandemic, it's a setup. I'm not denying the reality and the partial truth of the difficulty that the whole world, all of us in the world right now are dealing with. All of us are impacted in some way or the other by the pandemic. And we have been for quite a few months now. To deny that would be to be living in deception. However, I want you, like the psalmist said, I want you to lift up your eyes beyond that partial truth. I want you to lift up your eyes beyond the reality of that adversity. And I want you to focus on what is the whole truth. The whole truth is, this is not a pandemic, this is a setup. This is a setup. Because in the midst of this, the Lord will show himself strong. The Lord will show himself strong. This is a setup for us to discover new levels in God that we didn't know before. Adversity does not bring strength. It reveals strength. And if there is no strength, if it is weakness, it reveals weakness. Well, adversity shows the strength of God. He says he will set me up upon a rock. He will set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. And because of that, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. While the storm is raging, I will offer sacrifices of joy. While the storm is raging, I will offer sacrifices of joy. When you see us dancing, we are not dancing because we are happy, because people are sick. When you see us dancing, we are not dancing because we are happy. Many people are hurt and dead. Many people are beset by a lot of affliction. We are not happy that we are not dancing because we are happy. We are not dancing because we are not touched. We are dancing because we have the whole truth. And the whole truth is this is a setup. And when this is over, it will be over someday. And when this is over, we would have experienced certain aspects of God that we didn't know about before. The Lord would have brought us into certain experiences that we had not had, that we had not known before. And he would manifest certain aspects of his character in our lives that we hadn't experienced before. This is a setup. Can you say that with me? This is a setup. This is not a pandemic. This is a setup. This is not a pandemic. This is a setup. I'm taking the time very slowly to go over this, because I know people can very easily take things out of context and they can say you are not touched. And you know, we are touched. Even our high priest is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. His heart grieves over those that are lost, those that are sick, those that are dying, those that are tormented. Many of them are families, they are friends, they are people that are beloved to us. There are people that we know. There are people that we go to work with. There are people that some of our children go to school with. Our hearts are touched. We are grieved by it. However, we also understand the whole truth. The whole truth is that the Lord God is our rock. The Lord God is our strength. He's the strength of our salvation. The Lord God is near. He's not far away. The Lord God, his presence is with us. He's around us. He's carrying us. He's hiding us in his pavilion. He's hiding us in the secret place of his tent. The Lord God is doing a work that the pandemic cannot hinder, cannot stop. The Lord God will carry us through this season. And when we come out on the other side, we will come out better. We will come out stronger. We will come out knowing our God more and more and more and more. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of ages. That's our God. That's our God. That's our God. Nothing is too difficult for him. That's our God. That's our God. Therefore, we will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. That's why we sing and that's why we dance. If you see us dancing aggressively, rejoicing in the house of the Lord, we're not dancing like, you know, sometimes people, just dance because a song is nice. You can hear a song that is really beautiful that makes you start dancing. This is not what this is. Our dance, in fact, some of our dance, sometimes we dance to songs that are not necessarily nice. They don't sound attractive. They don't sound melodious. But because of what the song says. The song says, the Lord is the rock of my salvation. The song says, the Lord will never leave me or forsake me. The song says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The song says, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
And because of what the song is saying, we start dancing, we start rejoicing, because we understand what the song is revealing about the rock, our God. So we offer in his tabernacle. This is his tabernacle. Wherever you are this Sunday morning, you may be in your bedroom, you may be in your living room, you may be in the car, you may be in the kitchen, you may be somewhere on the road. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are, the presence of God is hallowing, is tabernacling with us right now. And we will offer sacrifices of joy right here in his tabernacle. We are not too unhappy to rejoice in our God. We are not too unhappy to sing about the God of our salvation. We are not too unhappy to rejoice about our coming salvation. He's coming. He's coming. Somebody said, well, Pastor, how do you know he's coming? How do you know? How do you know this is going to work for our good? Well, I tell you how I know. Because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who I sent to you, when he comes, he will teach you all things and he will show you things to come. Yeah. And he has shown us some things that are about to come. Some of those things, when this is over, it will work for our good. It will work for our good. Amen. Therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Hallelujah. I will sing, yay, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Wherever you are right now, give me just 1 minute of your time. Wherever you are, stand to your feet. And give him some sacrifice of joy. Wherever you are, there's no music playing. There is none of that stuff. It's just the presence of God. Give him sacrifices of joy. Sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord. Wherever you are right now, raise your hands up to heaven and worship the Lord and bless his holy name. I will give him sacrifices. I will bring sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yay. I will sing praises. 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 Wherever you are, shake yourself up and sing. Sing praise to the Lord. Sing praise to the King. Sing praise. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You can shake off the depression. You can shake off the depression. You can shake off the mourning. You can shake off the sadness. Just offer him a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Father, we adore you. We exalt your holy name. We love you, Lord. We love you. We say, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. You are the God that never fails. You are the God that will never go back on your word. The Bible says you will never repent. You will never change your mind. Everything that you have spoken, you have sufficient ability to bring it to pass. So we thank you. We bless you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We exalt your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Please sit down. Please sit down. Please sit down. Please sit down. The center of Psalm 27, everything is set around it. Every promise, every proclamation, every declaration that David is making is set around this central core of this scripture. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. I love a lot of the literal translations. Some of them said, if I was given the ability to choose one thing, this is the one thing that I want from the Lord. David said, just one thing. All I'm asking for is one thing. The storm may be raging. The difficulties may be there apparent. But David said, if you give me the opportunity, I want just one thing, Lord. Just one thing. He didn't ask for money. He didn't say, Lord, please let me live long. All of those would have been great. Those would have been awesome. But remember, he said, if there's only one thing I can receive, one thing I can ask of you, this is it. This is it. And what is this one thing? What is this one thing? I want to hang around your presence. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. And I want to inquire in his temple. One lovely translation I love very much. It says, I want to dwell around you, and then I want to find the answers to life. I want to find the answers to life. Another translation says, I want to dwell around you and I want to receive the wisdom that I need. This is the one thing. David said, this is the one thing. No wonder he knew so much about divine guidance and divine direction. David knew you could draw a straight line from receiving guidance from God to where you receive breakthrough from God. There's one straight line that connects the two of them. When you receive guidance from God, breakthrough is guaranteed. Breakthrough is guaranteed. If I can just know what you are saying, if I can just find the answer in your presence, if I can just receive your light, if I can just find your guidance, I know breakthrough is guaranteed. Breakthrough is guaranteed. You will break through anything. You will break through anything. If you can just find the light. You can draw a straight line from where the Lord gives you direction to where breakthrough manifests. There is a direct connection between receiving his light and breakthrough. Breakthrough. Somebody say that word with me. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. We are breaking through. I say we are breaking through. I say we are breaking through. We are breaking through the darkness. We are breaking through the opposition. We're breaking through the difficulty. We're breaking through the assault. We're breaking through. We're breaking through. But David said, you can draw a straight line between where you receive light and guidance and you find answers from the Lord. And when you know, breakthrough will manifest. I have no doubt, breakthrough will manifest. I know breakthrough will manifest. How do I know? Because you can draw a straight line from where you receive guidance. See, many believers don't understand that. Many believers think, well, breakthrough may, some people think, breakthrough may, it may not, it depends on how God is feeling on any given day. If it's a Monday, he may not want to give you breakthrough. If it's a Wednesday, he may be happy. If it's a Friday, yeah, he may be really pumped. He may give you breakthrough. But some days of the week, God is not. No, that's not true. Some people think, oh, well, you know, breakthrough is a given in life. No matter what happens, I will get breakthrough. No, that's not true either. That's not true either. David knew you could draw a line, a straight line between when you receive divine direction. This is why when he said, if God, if all you give me is one opportunity, just one thing I can ask for, this is, I already know what I want. I want to hang around your presence, and I want to inquire in your temple. That's one thing I want from you. I want to hear your word. I want to see your light. I want to know your will. I want to find your direction. That is one thing I desire. That is the one thing I desire. I want answers. That's what I want. I want to meditate so strong that that Hebrew word that is used for inquire means so many things. Ask for. It means to ask for. It means to require. It means to meditate. It means to seek. It means to find. It means to pursue. It means to receive answers, to get wisdom. Hallelujah. David said, I already know. Do you know, child of God, wherever you are today, whatever you are dealing with, we just need to find the light of God.
Yes.
Once we have light, darkness dispels.
Yes.
The Bible said the light shines in darkness. Darkness cannot comprehend it. When we find the light of God, everything comes together. Even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the difficulty. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We just need the light. We just need the light. Sometimes we're putting in so much effort to try to deal with the difficulty. We're putting in so much effort to try to deal with the difficulty. And we don't remember we just need the light. Because one word from God can change any situation forever. Any situation forever. We just need light. We just need light. You know, in Mark chapter 4, when they had that hurricane, and when they were, remember when the disciples were facing this storm, and they were doing everything they could to get, and yet the boat was getting full. They were doing everything, and the boat was getting full. Finally, somebody found light. He said, where is the master? Where is the master? Because you can draw a straight line from where you find light to where breakthrough happens. The moment that person said, where is the master? Light. Light. Because when they went to find him, he was laying down somewhere, sleeping, being cool and happy. They woke him up. Master, don't you care? We're perishing. So, got up and spoke to the storm. And the storm ceased. All the activity, they got 10 buckets, then they got 100 buckets, then they got 1,000 buckets. It didn't stop the storm. They borrowed more money to get more buckets. It didn't stop the storm. It didn't stop the storm. They called many more people to get men, bring more of their own buckets so they could get, it didn't stop the storm. But somebody said, where is the master? And they said, oh, he's lying there. Let's go talk to him. And they went and talked to him, and he spoke to them, and that was the end of the storm. 1,000 buckets, 1,000,000 buckets would not have stopped that storm. Hear me, child of God. Hear me. A lot of the strain and a lot of the stress and a lot of the activity it may not be the answer. We need light. We need to find out what is the Lord saying. What is the answer to this? What is the answer to this? A troubled situation, a troubled family situation, a troubled a child problem, a troubled business situation, career problem, a trouble, whatever the storm is, all these buckets and all these buckets and all these buckets, 1,000,000 buckets still will not stop the storm. You can bring everybody you know together into your ship. Let them bring all their buckets with them. It still will not stop the storm. But when you find light, you can draw a straight line between where you get light and where breakthrough. David knew this so well. He knew this so well. One of the encounters he had with God, he called God the Lord of the breakthrough. He called him the Lord of the breakthrough. And in that experience, in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, there was only one thing that brought breakthrough of the sin. Only one. was light. It was light. In the midst of the storm, while everybody was struggling, while they were straining, David said, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. When he went to inquire of the Lord gave him light. Once the Lord gave him light, breakthrough. The situation happened a second time. Instead of assuming that what God wanted him to do the first time is what God wanted him to do the second time, David said, I'm going back to inquire. You remember what he said? One thing. I've desired of the Lord. I want to hang around your presence and I want to inquire in your temple. Because you can draw a straight line between when you get the light of God and when breakthrough manifests. First Chronicles 14. Verse 8, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David, and David heard of it, and he went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of God. Somebody say the word inquired of God. Say that word with me, inquired of God. It's that same word, it's one word. It's one word. If there's only one thing that I have the opportunity to do, I'm not asking you for money, Lord. I'm not asking you for life, Lord. I'm not asking because all of those things come with the light. When you have light, money comes. Hallelujah. When you have light, breakthrough comes. When you have light, provision comes. When you have light, deliverance comes. When you have light, victory comes. Light brings everything. Light brings everything. David inquired of God, saying, shall I go, Lord? Shall I go against the Philistines? Shall I go? That's why many times in the Bible, God compared David with Saul. In Acts chapter 13. He says, after the people of Israel were asking for a king, he raised up Saul. He said, but then he deposed him, the Bible says. What verse is this? Acts 13, 21, 22. He deposed him after a while, deposed Saul. And he said, I have found David, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. The Amplified Bible says, he will complete, put that up for me, please, Amplify. Thank you. He will carry out my program fully. He deposed Saul. You know what it means to depose somebody? You pull them down. The stubborn king, full of whatever. God said, I'm deposing you. I have found a man after. Is it surprising why God said that? Because when they said, David, you can only have one thing. He said, if there's only one thing I can have, it is I want to be around his presence and I want to inquire in his temple. God said, I found a man after my own heart who will do all my will. And the Bible says David served God in his generation. He will do all my will. He will carry out my program fully. Do you know how David was able to carry out his program fully? Because he always inquired for it. Saul never asked. Even the one God directed him and told him clearly, we talked about it last week. Even the one God told him clearly, this is what I want you to do. When he got there, he went and used his mind. He said, Lord, that doesn't make sense. This is what I think we should do. And when the prophet came, you know, this is one of the strongest scriptures you are going to hear in 1 Samuel chapter 15. He said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as idolatry. Have you read this scripture before? Yes. 1 Samuel 15, what verse is that? 20. Hold your place in 1 Chronicles. Let's just quickly read this because I'm not coming back here. First Samuel 15. Verse 22, do you see that? And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord also has rejected you from being king. I said it last week, many people boast themselves. You know, in our family, I'm the most stubborn person. You should stop saying that. There is no blessing in that stubbornness. Some people think, it makes me look tough when I say I'm stubborn. No. It makes the blessing of God skip over your life. The stubborn can't receive the blessing. There's no grace for the stubborn. He said, you rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord has rejected you from being king. Say, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness. 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 You know what stubbornness is? You know, no matter what anybody says, you are going to do your thing. Well, you know, this is how I grew up. I grew up stubborn. I was the stubborn one in the family. When mom and dad are looking for the stubborn one, they call me because I'm the stubborn one. You need deliverance from that stubbornness because it will stop you from entering into what God has for you. Yes. David was not stubborn. David was yielded. Yes. He said, if there's one thing I can receive, I want to hang around your presence and I want to inquire. I want to inquire. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 10, David inquired of God saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, God has broken through and broken in upon my enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they called the name of the place the Lord of the breakthrough. Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough. He said, you can draw a straight line from where I inquired about the will and the mind of God to where breakthrough manifested. The Lord of the breakthrough. But he didn't stop there. You know, this situation could have repeated itself and David could have assumed, well, I asked him the last time, why ask him now? That's what Saul would have done. That's what Saul would have done. Instead of Saul getting counsel from God, he gets counsel from witches and wizards. He gets counsel from, he gets news and books and horoscope. And instead of getting before the Lord and say, Lord, what are you saying? He finds out what everybody out there. That's why in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13, Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. When David inquired, he inquired of God. When Saul inquired, he inquired of familiar spirit. And verse 14, and he inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom over unto David, the son of Jesse. You could draw a straight line from where David made a lifetime commitment. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Every living moment that I am blessed with, I will inquire of the Lord. I will inquire of the Lord. I'm not taking a step until I know the Lord has approved it. I'm not moving anywhere until I know that is the plan of God. And if you say go right, I'm going to go right. If you say go left, I'm going to go left. When the situation repeated itself, David could have said, well, I asked him the last time, and the last time he told me I should go up, so therefore I just assume. Oh no, he didn't do that. In verse 12, when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment and they were burnt with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore, David inquired again. Somebody say again.
Again.
Say inquired again.
Inquired.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was a man that lived by inquiring. Inquired again. Inquired again. Inquired again. And you know what? This time, God had a different plan. That's why you need to ask him. Don't assume. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Ask him. Seek his face. Find out. Maybe he has a different plan this time. Maybe there's a way you did it last year. But maybe for this year he wants something different. Maybe the way he has arranged your victory is different. Maybe there's a way somebody did it that you heard about, you read about. But that's not how he wants you to do it. Maybe he has a different plan that can deliver the blessing to you stresslessly and sweatlessly. So please ask him again. Commit to asking him. Commit to asking him. He asked the Lord again. And God said unto him, this time don't go up after them. Turn away from them. And come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you will go out to battle, for God is gone forth before you to smite the host of the Philistine. See, God is telling him, this is how I'm going to go. I will go ahead of you, but this is how I need you to come. I don't want you to go and say the Lord is coming anyway. I believe he's coming. He's not. There are so many believers going and say, I believe the Lord is coming. He's not. If he didn't tell you he's coming, he's not. That's why ask him again. Ask him again. And until you hear him clearly, until you have a sense in your spirit, until you can confirm a direction, just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. In the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tent. He will set me up upon a rock. He will set me. You know why? Because I asked him and I got the plan from him.
Yes. Yes.
I asked him. And I got the plan. So therefore, I'm very confident that though war rise against me, forget it. Even when my enemy come upon me to eat up my flesh, forget it. Forget it. My God will consume them. You know why? Because I'm working with the plan. This is the plan. This is the plan. And as long as we are working with the plan, you can draw a straight line between when we get light and when breakthrough shows up. Breakthrough will show up. I said, breakthrough will show up for you. I'm prophesying to you, breakthrough will show up for you. Shout hallelujah, somebody. It shall be that when you hear a sound of going to the tops of the mulberry trees, that then you will go out to battle, for God is gone before you to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him. And they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon to Gaza. And the fame of David went out into all the lands. And the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. The Lord of the breakthrough. All of us in this season need some breakthrough or the other. In this season. All of us. That breakthrough for ourselves. Or breakthrough for our children, or breakthrough for our parents, or breakthrough for our families, or breakthrough for our loved ones, our partners, breakthrough for ministry, breakthrough for career, breakthrough for finances, breakthrough for the things that are important to us. He says the Lord of the breakthrough. He specializes in giving breakthrough. Nothing can be too hard for your God. There is nothing, no matter how hard it seems, no matter how difficult, the Lord has the answer. The Lord has the power to break through for you. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. That's why, like David, as I get ready to close so we can have communion. Hallelujah. Are you excited in your spirit? I'm so excited. I'm so excited because I know some good things are on the way. I can sense that some great things are coming. Hallelujah. I can sense there is a turning. There's a turning in the spirit. The Lord is stepping out. He's stepping out and he's rearranging, reorchestrating, redirecting. I speak to someone online today. Wherever you are, you gave up. You gave up and you concluded it's over. I'm saying to you today, the Lord told me to tell you right here, right now, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Like David, we must commit ourselves. Okay, Lord, so many times I've done it my way, but now I'm going to be like David. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Lord, I come before you. I'm asking you for direction. That's why the Holy Spirit, this just makes my heart sing. This Holy Spirit is the greatest blessing of the new covenant.
Yes.
He is the gift God has given to us.
Yes.
Jesus said in John chapter 16, he says, there are things I want to tell you, but I can't because you can't bear them now. He said, but, The Comforter. Hallelujah. This Comforter is the divine guide. John 16 verse 12. This Comforter is the divine guide. I have yet many things, he said in the Amplified, that I want to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Watch this. The whole truth. The full truth. Not partial truth. The whole truth. The full truth. Your storm is a truth, but it's a partial truth. But the fact that you are set up on a rock is the whole truth and the full truth. The fact that your storm has an expiration date is the whole truth and the full truth. So you've just got to make sure you are still here after it expires, because it will expire. I'm gonna be here after it expires, because I know it will expire sooner than later. It will expire, and I'm committed. I will be here after it expires. I will be here. He will guide you into the truth, the whole truth, the full truth. Watch this. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. Everything the Father wants to show you, everything the Father wants to tell you, he will tell you. He will give the message that has been given to him. And he will announce and declare it to you. Those things that are to come, that will happen in the future. Somebody asked me earlier, how do you know, Pastor, this is going to happen? Because he said it. He will show you the things that are to come. This is a setup. That's part of what he has shown us. This is a setup. That's the whole truth. And when it's all said and done, the Lord will take us to a higher place.
Amen.
He will take us to a better place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. show you the things that are to come, things that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take what is of mine and reveal it to you. So that means what the Holy Spirit will do in your life and in my life will bring glory to the Father. The Holy Spirit will not work in our life and then we end in shame. No way. He will honor and glorify me, he said. So his work will produce glory. His work in your life will produce glory. His work in your life will not produce shame. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said he, the Spirit, he will take the things that are mine. He will reveal them, declare them, disclose them, and transmit them to you. David would have wished he had the Holy Spirit like we do. He had just a little measure. The Bible says in Psalm 89, say, we have found it with my holy oil, I have anointed. He had just a measure. And in Psalm 51, he said, Lord, renew the right spirit. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And he did not have the Holy Spirit like we do. He had partial manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The greatest gift of God to the believer is the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes. Abraham had the blessing, but he did not have the Holy Spirit. All the patriarchs had the blessing. They did not have the Holy Spirit like we have him. And when Jesus completed his work on the cross of Calvary, all the blessing that Abraham had, he gave to us, plus the Holy Spirit. Plus the Holy Spirit. He gave us the greatest blessing of all. The greatest. Galatians 3, 13, 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is he that hangs on the cross so that the blessing of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through faith, through Jesus, and that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We get the blessing covenant, and then we get the greatest blessing of all, the Holy Spirit. So inquire of him. He's walking with you every day. That's why he's having us learn about divine direction. Don't let this message bore you. And don't get so used to it that you think, I don't need it. You need it. If David needed it again and again and again, to the point where the Lord said, I have found him, he will carry out my program fully. He didn't say we carry it out a little or some or fully. Why did he say fully? Because he will ask again and again and again and again. He has a commitment. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Communion today is going to be more powerful than anyone we've done before one. Because here, we're going to devote and commit ourselves again to the power and the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. We're going to commit ourselves to committing to him. Every day, wake up. Lord, I commit. Don't make these big decisions and say, the Lord is coming, the Lord will be there. He may not be. Before you make the decisions, ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? And don't wait until the decisions are big before you come and ask him. Every day, Lord, I commit. Lord, I commit. Lord, I commit. Would you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet, please. Let's thank God for his faithfulness. Let's thank God right now for his goodness. Wherever you are, so we'll get ready for communion today. Let's thank God. He is our light and our salvation. Let's thank God. Wherever you are today, let's open up our hearts to him. Let's tell him how much we value his presence. Let's tell him how much we value his counsel. The Bible says God was so offended at Saul because he would not receive counsel from the Lord. He will receive counsel from familiar spirits. We do not receive counsel from familiar spirits or familiar anything. We don't receive counsel from familiar friends. We don't receive counsel from familiar family, relatives. We don't receive counsel from history, familiar stories. Not that the Lord can't speak to us through those. Not that the Lord can't speak to us through our familiar friends and family and loved ones and other people that he has put in our lives. He can. But when we come, we're telling him, Lord, it's you we're looking at. Whatever you want to use, whoever you want to use, that's up to you. But Lord, it's you. It's your presence. You are the Lord of the breakthrough. I don't know about you, but all over this country and all over this world right now, we need breakthrough. Breakthrough. We need breakthrough in science. We need breakthrough in the economy. We need breakthrough in our racial relationships. In our nation. We need breakthrough in our families. We need breakthrough. We need breakthrough. We need breakthrough. Some mountains confound us so big, we don't know what to do with them. We need breakthrough. Let's commit. Let's commit to the Lord's counsel. Let's commit to the Holy Spirit. Let's commit to his direction. Let's commit again and again. Lord, we commit to you. We commit to your word. We commit to your voice. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so conscious of the time, and yet it's so challenging for me to move forward. And we're done talking. We're done talking. I just sense in the spirit that the Lord is doing a work. And if you don't mind, we're done talking, but if you don't mind, if you could just be still for just a couple of minutes and just let the Lord do a work. He's doing a work. The Holy Spirit is doing a work in our hearts, in our lives. The Lord is redirecting. He's reorchestrating. He's turning some things. He's turning some things. So if you don't mind, if I can just be quiet for about 2 minutes here, I'm just going to let him walk.